Thank you, Dr. Rashan and Dean Edelman, Gilles. It's wonderful to be here in one of the world's great cities, at one of the world's great universities, and having one of the world's best meals last night. I only have one regret, and that is, as I get older, 50 years doesn't seem like it's so long ago. I used to think 50 years was a long time, but as I reflect back to my old time, our biostat department just celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. Our MPH program is now 40 years old, and our school, which emerged from our medical school, is 25 years old this year. So actually, academic public health itself is relatively new in Western society. But the good thing about 50 years not being so long is that I've been around most of those years and thinking about this, and I can reflect back to my time in medical school and public health training many, many, many years ago and think about what's different. And my overall conclusion to what I would like to say is that we're entering a golden era of public health. And the reason for that, there are three reasons. One is the issues of the characters of public health itself, and I'll mention three of those, trends in our society, and then just observations about interest in public health. So first of all, characteristics of public health. And the three I'll mention are the population perspective, prevention, and interest in global health. In general, public health focuses more on populations instead of individuals. I tell my medical school colleagues that they don't see the forest for the trees. They tell me that I wouldn't know a tree if I ran into one. But in fact, we do think about populations, and population health is very important to us. And the reason that's important for the future is that we always base everything on data. Surveillance, good surveillance, is the conscience and guide of public health, and also evaluates where we are. It'll tell us how well the new Minister of Health's program is doing, because it is the conscience of public health. We're always evaluating outcomes. We're comfortable with priority setting. We have always been involved in health policy, and public health, for better or for worse, is always at the intersections of politics and medicine. And that's even more important now than ever before. Public health focuses on prevention as opposed to care. And prevention is in all populations. It begins with understanding causality. Now, not just the single cause, but all causes, including the social determinants of illness and disease. Public health is always focused on community input and working with communities, which involves the behavioral and social sciences. As such, public health has always had to be interdisciplinary from its very core. And it focuses on the intersection between the individual and care, the linkage between public health and curative medicine for both primary and secondary prevention. And finally, as a characteristic, public health has always had a focus on global health, which I will mention as one of the most important aspects that we now face in our society. So what are the trends? Well, first of all, it's the trend of globalization. I'm thinking back when I was in college and I had the privilege of going to Europe. And in order to talk to my parents, I would stand in line for 3 hours at the post office. Most of you aren't that old. And try to call home. Meanwhile, my daughter, who's in public health at the Centers for Disease Control, was in rural Sierra Leone 3 months ago dealing with Ebola and calling me on her cell phone from rural Sierra Leone. So things are so much smaller now, and we're so much aware of global issues because of transportation and communication. Not only that, we have Ebola, SARS, avian influenza, and migration patterns are so different than they were in the old days. We have such a multicultural societies virtually everywhere. But not only are infectious diseases transmitted, but so also are lifestyles. As a matter of fact, you needn't leave China to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, because there's more Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises in China than there are in the United States. We can transmit obesity lessons to people without people even leaving their country. So yet there's more diabetics in India than anywhere in the world. So we have a chance to learn from each other, and as a matter of fact, we must learn from each other, not only about causality and pathogenesis, but also important lessons about prevention. So we can share solutions as well as share problems. The world is aging. Canada's aging, the United States is aging, Japan is aging, even China is aging. And as we age, both locally and globally, we are concerned about the emergence of chronic disease and their management and complexities. And it's not just healthcare in order to manage these complications. There actually is a growing appreciation on the part of healthcare professionals and the public, at least in the United States, about the social determinants of health and how we address these. And that's always been right in our center when it comes to public health. The last characteristic I'll mention is the worldwide unsustainability of healthcare cost increases. The payers are unwilling to continue to pay more for what has been even a more promising healthcare with our burgeoning technologies. So there's an increasing emphasis in all societies of trying to reduce the costs. And in public health, of course, we are used to things like priority setting and effectiveness. So what are my observations? Well, the first observation is that the public has a growing appreciation of prevention and choices and a need for prevention. I think you hear much more about public health than you did when I was in medical or public health school. We have to have research beyond the randomized clinical trial. It's no longer going to be enough just to show efficacy in a research trial, but we're demands are made to show something that's actually effective and comparatively effective and then actually can have program impact. And once again, that deals with the effectiveness in populations, not just in individuals. Finally, current and future generations really care about public health. When I was in high school, it was admirable to go to college, and that was considered to be kind of the end all. You might go on beyond that, but a college degree was a ticket to the future. At Emory, for example, 85% of our undergraduates go on to some type of graduate and professional school. And 17% of the U.S. economy is in health. There's a huge interest in public health and global health among undergraduates in the United States. A big demand for understanding how health fits into our globalized world. And at Emory, for example, in a short period of time, our School of Public Health has quintupled in size within 25 years. We have 9 dual degree programs, 1,200 graduate and professional students, and now, since I've been the dean, which has been forever, 8,000 graduates in a fairly short period of time. And despite that and concerns about it, we had the largest number of applicants ever this year to our school. So there's a huge interest in public health. And 20% of our medical school class gets a dual degree in public health. We were the 27th School of Public Health accredited in the United States just 25 years ago. And now there are 60, I believe, or something like that. So it's been a big growth in interest in public health in the United States. So having said that, the problems are emerging right in our wheelhouse, and I think the interest is there and the future is bright for public health.